It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to Naomi's Table for the Bible study segment, and Connie Stample is back at the table. Hey, Connie.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Thanks for coming again. We are back in Habakkuk chapter 2, and today, Connie, what are we going to be learning about from this wonderful chapter?
Well, we're going to finish up chapter 2 and find out the final two woes for the Babylonians, but more than that, we're going to have a glimpse into what the human response to who God is in his glory. And it starts out with silence, because it's kind of that speechless awe of God, either in worship or for the Babylonians and the proud, is going to be the speechless, what do I say to the God of everything who just melts me before his presence? But it's going to be good. So we are going to pick up in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. And what we find is that we have this little brief kind of rest in the middle of all these woes. And Habakkuk writes, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And we're going to find that that actually is referenced in, or came first from Isaiah 9, or 11, verse 9, because Isaiah wrote 100 or more years before Habakkuk. And so the idea there is that God is going to one day reveal his glory throughout the entire world. The nation of Israel was to reveal God's glory because of knowing him, being in covenant relationship with him, obeying him. And for the other nations, in Deuteronomy, it says that they will know how great God is because of the just laws he has and how the people follow him. Unfortunately, the people of Israel did not follow God well, and so that's why they're going off to exile. But one day, when Christ returns, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God, and that is a glorious, glorious day. We also find that in the new covenant promises, God will put his law in our hearts. That's in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel, and we're going to find that people actually can know God individually. They don't need a priest to, like the Old Testament priest, to represent them before God, but they can come directly to God through Jesus Christ. And so that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So just a little rest here in the middle of the woes. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through the rest of the woes in Habakkuk chapter 2. And we're going to see, again, this is so fitting because it fits, it's kind of like the punishment definitely fits the crime. And the Babylonians received what they gave out. Chapter 2, verse 15, Habakkuk writes, "Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink. You pour out your wrath and make them drunk in order to gaze at their nakedness. You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. Drink yourself and show your uncircumcision. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter shame will come upon your glory." So we're finding out that, again, we talked about how the Babylonians were prone to drunkenness, and they definitely were prone to sin in other ways, passion and sexual sin and all. But there's this idea that they were so inhuman to their captives and people that they, in their hate and passion and lust, they made them drunk and laughed at them and just were totally awful to them, inhuman and, not treating people and captives the way humans should be. And so there's drunkenness and violence and passion and debauchery and just everything that's wrong. But we find that what's going to happen is they're going to have their fill of shame. And that's the Hebrew is very graphic. It's like they will spew their shame, and you get the idea of actually a drunk vomiting. And so it's very graphic language, but it tells us that their end is going to be just as inglorious as how they treated other people. And so we've got this contrast between the shame of the Babylonians, and then again, we mention God's glory. And really, that cup in the Lord's right hand is the cup of God's wrath, his divine retribution for their sin. And that is a principle throughout the Bible. Each and every person will receive the just due for their sin. Those who are in Christ Jesus will have his righteousness covering them. But actually, each and every one of us have behaved in ways like the Babylonians and deserve that cup of wrath. I'm now going to read the last part of the woes. Verse 17 says, "The violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, as will the destruction of the beasts that terrified them, for the blood or bloods of man and violence to the earth, to cities and all who dwell in them." And again, what we find and we know from history is that the Babylonians, when they went through and conquered an area, they just were destructive. It was kind of scorched earth. They would kill the animals. They'd tear down the forest. They would leave nothing behind. The people left had nothing because it had all been destroyed. And so they just were very, very, they didn't respect what God had made, and they thought they owned it all. And what's going to happen is that violence is going to come on them. And then we find in verse 18, and this really gets probably to the heart of their sin, what God tells us is that it was their idol worship, or their worship of something other than God, themselves really, but specifically their idols, that is part of why they're condemned. So verse 18 says, "What profit is an idol when its maker has shaped it, a metal image, a teacher of lies? For its maker trusts in his own creation, when he makes speechless idols." And so God is just pointing out just how nonsensical it is to bow down and worship a created object or a created thing. Or in our day and culture, it's not a pole or a graven image or a metal statue, but it's anything else that we might put before God. And so, again, it just shows that idols deceive, and that if you worship something other than God, you're actually not living in true reality, because you are worshiping a lie, really. And so then God says, this is the final woe. "Woe to him who says to the wooden thing, 'Awake,' and to the silent stone, 'Arise.' Can this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath in it." And so God is just pointing out, if you worship anything other than the living God, you're worshiping something dead, something that's not going to last, something that has no power to save. And so we need to remember that. But that's, again, part of what was going on with Babylon, is they worshiped themselves, and then they were into sorcery and all kinds of other evil things, but they were definitely not worshiping the one true God. And then finally, this chapter ends with like a breath of fresh air. And we see, again, that God will bring about that divine justice in his time. Verse 20 says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." When we talk about the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, Yahweh, actually, the Lord, the God of the Israel, we find that he's in his holy temple, which really means heaven, where he rules. And so, yes, people are doing evil things on the earth and things are happening, but God is still God, and he will make judgment happen. And at one time, at the end of the ages, every knee will bow. We find that in Philippians chapter 2, I believe. Every knee will bow before him, either voluntarily because we know he is good, or we'll be forced to bow because we can't stand and keep our knees straight. That living, self-existent, eternal God who's sovereign over all things, he will make all things right in the end. And then when it says, "When let all the earth keep silence before him," really the idea is, when we stand before that God, our first thought is probably going to be, "I have nothing to say," because of his magnificence. And so that's part of how this is all kind of coming around for Habakkuk. Remember, he's been asking God questions and saying, "Why and why and why?" And then he's starting to come to the answer. God is the answer. And gaze upon him himself, the Lord of heaven and earth, the God who created everything, rather than on the circumstances or even about the thoughts that he might come up with. In our reading today, we've got some passages in Job, and Job wrestled with many of the same questions. And so he asked questions of God, why this and why that? And then God showed his power and his majesty and his eternal purposes a little bit to Job. And Job had to say, "I'm quiet. I can't say anything else to you because you've revealed yourself and you are God." And that's really where we come to. When we come to know this God, we end up standing in awe before him.
Connie, thank you so much. And I know that perhaps in the next segment we might address this, but you mentioned the silence before God. And I know there are some in the New Age, I know that mysticism has kind of crept into some of the visible church, where people believe that those verses might actually mean going into a silence where you actually empty your mind a little bit and let God audibly speak to you. And that is in no way what those verses mean, is it?
Exactly. No, yeah. This is more just beholding the glory of God and not being able to say anything immediately. And then I think words come after that because of the beauty of our Lord.
And our praise to him. Ladies, I hope you've really enjoyed Habakkuk chapter 2. I know that much more is to come in this wonderful book of Habakkuk. And Connie, you're going to be back preparing more lessons. But we thank you for wrapping this up so beautifully.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, we are going to continue tomorrow, next time,
about Habakkuk chapter 3. But I hope these lessons are blessing you, ladies. And again, I always say this, but go to our website, dig a little deeper with the notes and reflection on what these different passages are saying. Because really, if you can find some time to set aside and dig deeper, you'll find that it all points to Jesus and his glorious coming. So we're going to leave you with that. We'll be right back.